He's talking about you and me. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we have these words. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if there's one word that could sum up the thought, capture the essence, best convey the meaning of this scripture, Hebrews 11 and 1. If there's one word that could sum up Hebrews 11 and verse 1, it would be this one word, expectancy. You see, if you would take time to study the deeper truths of the word, you would discover that expectancy plays a significant role. This thing about expectation is not ancillary. It's not incidental. It's fundamental. You would see and understand that our whole faith is wrapped around that one word called expectancy. Now, expectancy is the certainty that a promised thing will transpire. I believe that it shall be, even as it was told me. Somebody say amen. Expectancy is what has moved God's people from faith to faith, from victory to victory, from glory to glory. Expectancy, knowing that God is not a liar and that what He's spoken, He is able and willing to perform. In our text tonight, the prophet Jeremiah was speaking to a captive people. Their lives had been ruined and devastated. When you read the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, he is addressing a group of people who, because of sin, they were suffering. Calamity was all around them. And don't you know that sin brings suffering? And there are consequences, and there are mistakes that we make. And the children of Israel have made tremendous mistakes. And God had to move them to a foreign land. And it was there that they, I'm sure, they didn't have the niceties of life, and they were suffering. But it was to those people, go back to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Come on now. These were people who had failed. These were people who had missed the mark. These were people who were in captivity. These were people who were suffering. And God says, "I hadn't forgot you. I'm still..." Now, you know, our greatest enemy is self-condemnation. One of the worst things we have to deal with is that voice in our inner ear. "You're not worthy. You messed up. You were an alcoholic. You were a prostitute. You were you didn't do this. You failed here. You failed there." That is that constant barrage. But God has another voice, because not one among us can say that we haven't failed, missed the mark. "But I know the thoughts that I have towards you." And what are those thoughts? To punish you and to beat you down. And surely there are consequences. Surely sometimes we have to drink some things that we have done. But I'll tell you, despite it all and over all, God said, "These are thoughts that I have toward you are not of evil, but to give you hope and an expected end." And I believe it's time for us in our home. It's time for us in our lives. It's time for us in our church to have great expectations. Somebody shout, "Great expectation." Now, it doesn't matter what state you're in. The people of Jeremiah's time, they were in bondage, a strange land. They were in the enemy's camp, but God gave them hope and great expectations. What about King David? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1 through 2. The Bible says that David therefore departed thence and escaped. What does that mean, escape? That means he was running for his life. He escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down to him. Verse 2, "And everyone that was in what?" And everyone that was in what? And everyone that was what? They did what? They gathered themselves unto David, and he became a captain over them. Oh, and they were with him about 400 men. Now, these were malcontents. These were men who were distressed, in debt, and discontent. You wouldn't think there'd be much hope for this rabble here. You wouldn't think that this would be the most prestigious church in the conference. No, sir. This was a group of people who were in debt and distress and discontent. They had had the hard blows of life. They had sinned. They had made mistakes and failures. But the key is this. They gathered themselves to David, and they knew that God was going to do something. They had great expectations. By the way, the cave of Adullam, the word Adullam means squeeze. They were in a tight place. They were in the place of the squeeze. And I want you to know that if you're in a cave, if you're in a tight place, a dark place, a discontented place, God's got a word for you, and you just gather yourselves unto King Jesus and make him the captain over your life, and you're going places. Can you shout hallelujah tonight? I got great expectations. What about Joseph? Joseph was in the land of Egypt, and his brethren came. They were prosperous, but Joseph knew that Egypt would not be their dwelling place. Go to Genesis chapter 50 and verse 25. And Joseph took an oath of the people, saying, God will surely visit you, and will carry, and you shall carry my bones from hence. He said, listen, God's brought you from the promised land for a while. Somebody say, for a while. And you're in Egypt, and it may not get any better. It may even get a little worse. But don't you lose hope. This is not your final place. You listen, because I'm so convinced that you're going back to the homeland. I know it won't be in my lifetime, but you make sure you don't leave my bones in this place, because I know that we're coming out. And Joseph had great expectations. And you might think, well, my dreams have died, and my dream, like Joseph, I've just got bones. But can I tell you, God can work even in bones, even when it seems like all hope is lost, even if there's just some old bones. God still had, this man in his bones still had more expectation than some of you in the living tonight. You know what? I'll tell you something. You remember when the valley was full of dry, dead bones? Did God forsake them? Can these bones live? Can the ashes and the dreams and the passion, the desires, the calling, the gifts and the calling, can they live? I'll tell you they can. Prophesy to them and say, oh, bones, hear the word of the Lord. You can have great expectations. Somebody give him a hand of prayer. Put those flesh of hands together. Well, I've died. And well, I don't care if you've died. Just put some clanging of the bones then. And I'll tell you, you keep praising God and flesh will start coming. And this life will start coming. And God will start moving. Because you don't ever have to lose your great expectations when it seems like all is gone. Can I get a witness? Now, Peter was thrown into jail. Go to John chapter 21 and verse 18. He was thrown into jail and they were going to execute him the next day. Now, I can't only imagine that. I would not doubt if in our lifetime, my lifetime, and those younger than me, I would not doubt if we would have to, you know, give our life for our faith. And we better be prepared to do it. Amen. And but Peter was a younger man. But look at John 21 and 18. Verily, verily, I say, very, verily, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall grind thee. So here is Peter in the prison, expecting to be dead the next morning. But I just got thinking, something's like, okay, now the Lord said I was going to be old one day. So old that I would have to be carried around. I don't need to be carried around. So I'm in prison. I'm on the docket to die tomorrow morning. But the Lord said I was going to be an old man. He must have had great expectations, because he went to sleep. And I don't know what time of the middle of the night came, but an angel came, didn't knock on the door, just walked in the door, chains fell off, and Peter lived to be an old man. And I'll tell you what, don't lose your expectation. It may look like tomorrow you're going to die, but I promise you, if he's told you you're going to be an old man or an old woman, you are going to live and not die, but declare the works of the Lord. You've got to have faith and expectation. Listen, your expectation can change your situation. I'm going to say that again. Your expectation can change your situation. Does anybody need their situation changed tonight? then you need to start right now expecting that it's going to change. You know, expectation is some of the most exciting times. When a mother is expecting, it is exciting. When the new iPhones come out and people are wrapped around the store, there's expectancy. I'm about to get something. And I want you to know, expectancy brings joy and anticipation and brings faith and brings hope. And that's what we need to embrace in 2019. That's what we need to embrace in our lives. Expectation that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. It may not look like it. It may be a little bone clanging around, but God is going to bring it all to pass. I wish somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it with me. My expectation is changing my situation. Give him a hand of praise tonight. Amen. I choose it. Now you can, you know, did you know that doubt and unbelief is a choice? It's an easy choice. I just don't believe my children are ever going to come to church. Pastor said invite people, invite, and I invite and they don't come. You know what? You got more faith. You got unbelief. You're exercising your unbelief. You're exercising it strong. Because if you had faith, you'd be persistent. And you'd keep on. And you'd be relentless. I'm going to keep on inviting. I'm going to keep on fasting. I'm going to keep on praying until I see. I've got expectation that of these things. Can you say amen? Number one, prayer. Somebody say prayer. You need to have some great expectations. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Be very specific. Be very dogmatic. Be very full of expectation and present your need to the Lord. Present your desires to the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about ungodly desires. I'm not talking about desires to that will promote self. All our desires should be, Lord, for your glory and for your kingdom. Amen. Somebody say amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. You know what that means? God's just looking. He's looking to bless. He's looking to answer prayer. He's looking to meet your need. He is looking. Now, what is he looking for? Somebody with expectation. Somebody who will believe him. Because I believe when your expectancy lines up with God's plan and purpose, brother, you better watch out. Something mighty is going to happen. He wants to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Go to Isaiah 59 and verse 1. 59 and verse 1. And it says here, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. I'm going to read it again. Isaiah 59 and 1. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. God is still answering prayer. And he's listening. And he wants you to know that he's got something good for you. Say amen. We need to do like Elijah. He was on Mount Carmel. And the prophets of Baal cut themselves and prayed. But before Elijah prayed, he built an altar. And he laid wood on the altar. And he poured water on the altar. Now think about that. It had not rained in 3 years. And yet he built an altar. And he put wood on the altar. Sounds like to me he had some. No? Some great expectations. And they prayed, those prophets of Baal prayed, and they just made a show of themselves. And old Elijah was like, you better pray louder. Your God's probably taking a nap. And they just prayed even louder and louder. Like, well, he might be taking a walk. He'll be back in a minute. Keep on praying. And they got, he said, y'all, he looked at them and said, y'all done now? All right, you done? Okay. Well, let's try this. And about 63 words filled with expectancy. Oh, Lord, show that you are God of heaven and earth, and answer thy servant by fire. And the Bible says, and then the fire fell, and it consumed the sacrifice, and consumed the altar. Go to James 4 and 2. James 4 and 2 says quite simply this. This is an indictment. This is an incentive. This is something that you need to do. You have not because you ask not. I'm asking, and I'm believing, because I've got great expectations. Give him a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Prayer. I'm telling you, when I pray, I'm expecting God to hear. I believe he hears the whispers of our heart. You don't have to pray 6 hours to get something through. There may be times you want to pray that the length of the prayer. There's a chapter in the book of 1 Samuel, and I counted the words to it, and David prays to God like, I forget the number, like 156 words. And then God responds back about 160 words. But the point is that there was a conversation. And that's what prayer is. It is a conversation. There's little prayers. There's quick prayers. There's when I'm on the work, on the job, and I need something quick. Oh, Lord. Amen. How many of you know God answers those prayers? There's prayers where we tarry and we spend time before the Lord. But your prayer must have the aroma of great expectations. The Bible says, open your mouth wide and he will fill it. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Somebody say amen tonight. Amen. Number two, what about our loved ones? It's time to have great expectations. I touched on this a few minutes ago. You're saying that, well, my child won't ever come to church, or my grandchild won't ever come to church. You got to work on them. You got to stay on top of them. You got to find ways to get them here. Say amen now. I mean, you got to keep on. You know, there's got to be excuses, reasons. Oh, you're not coming? Well, why don't you come? Blah, 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 blah. Find a way. Do something. There is a way. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, that believe on the Lord and you shall be saved. And who? And your house. Jeremiah 31 and 16. Jeremiah 31 says, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, for they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Talking about your children shall come again from the land of the enemy. Pray and believe and have expectation that my loved ones, my mother, my sister, my father, Darnell's family, her sister, different ones, cousins that I'm praying for and believing God for. And friend, your prayers will make the difference. God will touch their heart. God will respond to our. There used to be an old song in the 80s that somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. And then it ends up, I'm so glad that somebody prayed for me. You are an answer to somebody's prayer. And we need to have great expectations. I'm expecting my loved ones to be saved. I'm holding God to his word. I'm saying, Lord, I don't care how far away they get or how deep it is. You can break that cycle. You can break that situation. You can make a way where there seems to be no way. There's no one that God will give up on until the last minute of the last second. And I do believe that God can save the thief on the cross. I do believe that he can save our loved ones. Say amen. Amen. Number three, concerning, does anybody need a miracle? Signs, wonders, and miracles? Then you need to have, look at Acts chapter 3, verses 6 through 7. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Look at verse 7. We there? All right. And he took him by the right hand. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received his sight. You talk about expectation, man. He didn't wait for the man to jump up healed. He reached down his hand and pulled him up and said, be healed. That's great expectations. I do believe in the God of miracles. I do believe in the God of healing. I do believe the God in instantaneous healing. I believe that God still heals. And look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 15. It says, insomuch that they brought forth sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least of that the shadow of Peter passing by may overtake some of them. Man, there was such expectancy in that church. There was such an atmosphere that you just come, and even if Peter can't touch you, if you just get in the shadow of Peter, faith will arise, things will happen. I'm telling you, Peter went from his hand bringing a miracle to his shadow bringing a miracle. Brother, that's expectancy, amen? Now, let's not get super spiritual here. Go to Psalm 91 and 1. What was the shadow of Peter? Psalm 91 and 1. Here it is. Read it with me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what the shadow of Peter was? It was a shadow of the Almighty. He was so in his presence, so expecting God to move, that as he walked around, things changed. I'm expecting things to change. I'm expecting that situation to turn around. Amen. You think, well, Pastor Jerry, man, we can just, he can pray and God will do miracles. Go to Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And by the way, he can. And thank God for that. Amen. But what does the scripture say? Mark chapter 16, verse 17 through 18. And these signs shall follow who? Ask your neighbor, are you a believer? Then you need to expect some miracles. I go to the hospital, I pray for miracles. I give people a word of hope. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Look at verse 18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, this is not meaning we'll be a snake-handling church. That's not it. That is not what this means. That's false doctrine. That's tempting God. That's being not, you know what? I'll be, as God is my witness, right here at Westmoreland, probably about a year ago, a couple came to our church. I don't think pastor was here that day, and they wanted to talk with me in the office. So I went back to the study there, and the man was from up in the hills of Kentucky, and the only churches there that were Pentecostal were snake handling churches. He said his grandmother attended a snake handling church, and as serious as a man could be, and in all my years of pastoring, I've never had this. Never had this because I've always joked about it. But he was as serious can be. He said, now, Brother Ricky, I just need to make sure that this church doesn't literally, physically handle snakes. I said, brother, I promise you, snake comes in the door, I'm going out the door. But I will tell you this. In the spirit realm, we can take up snakes, serpents, scorpions, those stinging, quick things. And we can take authority. We have power. There is a God of miracles. We call out to God because we have great expectations. I believe the last days church, I believe in the Pentecostal church, we should of all people ought to be leading the way in growth. We ought to be leading the way. Our churches should be overflowing. Why? Because people need miracles. People need something the doctor can't do. People need something drugs can't do. People need something that they're not finding in this world. They need the power of Almighty God. May we have great expectations. Let these signs follow them that believe. Say amen tonight. Concerning number four, life's challenges. Has anybody got any challenges out there tonight? You need to have great expectations. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Then he answered and spake unto me, Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying not by, and by the way, the word of the Lord to you, saying not by what? Nor by what? But by my spirit, saith the Lord. Go to verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, saying, grace, grace. We have mountains that we face. But our God is the God of the mountain and the valley. Amen? And if you have a mountain of debt, if you have a mountain of disease, if you have a mountain of worry, whatever mountain, we have got to remember the scripture that Jesus said. Go to Matthew chapter 17, speaking of it. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief, because of your lack of expectation. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall what? Say unto this mountain. A lot of things have to do with your words. You got to speak the right words. You got to quit down talking you and what God is doing. And, oh, I'm just poor this, and I'm just, you know. And listen, there's something called humility, but there's something called false humility. Amen. Don't you put God's child down. If you're a child of God, you just say, I'm a servant of the Lord. But you don't need to put yourself, well, I can't this and I can't that and I don't this and that and the other. You know what? Be careful that you don't use false humility to shirk your responsibility. People are like, well, I'm just this, that, and the other. No, you just don't want to work for the Lord. Amen. Let me move on. I don't want to get negative. Amen. I want to be positive. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You got to say to that mountain, I speak to that mountain to be moved in the name of Jesus. Every time I go to the mountains, or the few times I do, when I go riding through those mountains and I see those big mountains, I'm reminded of that scripture. Because whatever seems so, so big to me, I have great expectations. God can take that mountain, as it were, and cast it into the sea and make it just as smooth as it needs to be. Somebody say, great expectations. Number five, concerning our church, it's time to have great expectations. Somebody say amen. I said, there's more for Westmoreland. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9 says, I believe that's the right scripture, the glory of the latter house shall be greater. Brother, that's expectation right there. I tell you what, we've been having some off-the-chain services. And I tell you, the Lord has been blessing, and people are responding, and there's an atmosphere. And it doesn't just happen. Things have to be done. The wood has to be laid. Prayers have to be prayed. We have to have expectation. I am expecting Westmoreland to grow and grow and grow. I am expecting six bodies to get healed. I'm expecting marriages to be put back together. I believe God. Listen, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So far, so good. Unto him be glory by Christ Jesus in the church. World without end. You want to see God do exceedingly and abundantly above all you ask or think? It's just not you. It's when we get into the church. And together we see God do great. And I still believe in the church. I still believe in the local church. I want to have a pastor. I want to hear a message. I want to worship with the saints of God. I want to come to church when the doors are open. I want to be in the altar when the prayers are prayed. I want to have fellowship with the saints of God. I'll tell you, the happiest time of my week is that when I'm with the saints, because this is a little foretaste of glory divine. You see, we're out in the world, and then we come to church. But sooner or later, we're going to be in the church and never in the world. And we're going to be together worshiping and praising and serving the Lord. Amen. I don't like people down talking a church or the church. Well, I'll just stay home. I don't listen to my TV preacher. Well, I want to see your TV preacher go to Wilson Medical when you have a bad need to go up there. They're not going to go. Amen. Well, I pay my tithes to other places. You know, I send my tithes to I don't know, what's one of these charities people send tithes to? I don't know. I send my tithes to some televangelist. You know, I'm part of his ministry. You know what the Bible says, the tithe? The Bible says exactly where the tithe goes. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. I just shorten it, into the house. Well, but I'm taking my tithe and I'm feeding the hungry with it. Isn't God okay with that? Well, let me ask you this. I owe the light bill every month. Every month I have to pay $250 to Wilson Utilities. I have to. If I don't, my lights get cut off. But if I go up to Wilson Utilities and say, you know what? I owe $250 for that light bill. But I wanted to feed a hungry child there in the streets of Wilson. Isn't that a great thing? Will you keep my lights on? No. You pay your light bill, then you go. Are y'all with me here tonight? You got to pay tithe, brother. That's something that is. It's not the debt you owe, but in a sense, it is a seed you sow. But it is something that we're obligated to do in the bring all the tithe. Now, if you want to give above the tithe to the hungry and to that, then God will said, I'll prove me now and I'll open up the windows and then you'll be a blessing to the nations. But brother, you've got to put first things first. You got to have great expectations. When I tithe, God is going to bring it back to me and the Lord is going to bless, and he's going to bless our church as we give, pray, and fast. Somebody shout amen tonight. Y'all got quiet. Amen. Well, people have different opinions about different things, but what I just said was my opinion, but I don't think it was an opinion. I think it was the word of God. Amen. Now, if you interpret it different on some things, we'll go grace and go give mercy. Amen. Amen, somebody. But I believe it's very clear. Number 6, concerning praise and worship. It's time to have great expectations. Don't come to church with your hands down, a frown on your face. You just don't know what I've been through, like the poor fellas on Hee Haw. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, perfect misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. There's a lot of people that come to church thinking this is Hee Haw Pentecostal Holiness Church. Brother, this is Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church. More. Praise God. I'm going to lift his name. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to shout. I'm going to dance. I'm going to praise him. Well, Sister So-and-so didn't treat me right. I'm going to praise God if Sister So-and-so don't treat me right. Or Brother So-and-so didn't shake my hand. I don't worship Brother So-and-so. I worship the Lord who died for me and has got great expectations for my life. And by the way, he inhabits the praises of his people. I said, come on and praise him. He inhabits it. I'm expecting God to show up. Well, glory to God. Expectation, expectation, expectation in worship and praise. The Bible says if you hold your peace, the rocks will cry out. Oh, we should praise the Lord from where he's brought us from to where we are today. Not only for what he's done, but we did praise him for who he is. We should give him praise. We have hands to lift up, mouths to speak up, feet to walk up. If we didn't have any of those things, if we just got breath, the Bible says the living, I say, shall praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Not only should we praise the Lord, not only can we praise the Lord, but we must praise the Lord. I said about worship, God demands it because he's God. Your worship is to be, he's a commander. He's the captain of the armies of the angels. Can you imagine one of the generals coming out or one of the captains coming out, the Sergeant Nelson, and says, Sergeant Nelson, I need you to take this hill. And Sergeant Nelson's like, no, I think we'll just stay and watch TV today. That's called disobedience. It's called insubordination. That's called you're fired, like Donald Trump used to do. God said, worship me. This is not a democracy. This is not an option. This is not take it or leave it. The Bible says, thou shalt worship. Just like thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt worship. It is a command to be obeyed. God demands it. He has every right to demand it. Amen? But not only does he demand it, Let me tell you something. He deserves it. You know, I could go to my wife and say, I demand that you, you know, wash those dishes. I demand that you vacuum the floor. Now, how many of you know that ain't going to go very far? Come on. Well, theoretically, she's my wife. And, you know, according to Scripture, she's to obey her husband. And that's right, man. But now, if I fix the car and I make up the bed and I work 16 hours a day and the trash needs to be taken out or the floor needs to be vacuumed, and I say, honey, I just don't have time to get to it. Do you mind doing it? You know what? I not only demand it, but I deserve it because I put in hard work. And because of that, she's more than happy to do it, I think. Yeah. That's in marriage. I asked Brother Bud tonight, has he got a dozen roses for next week, Valentine's Day, for Sister Joan? And he said he had two. So that's good. Amen. That's better than none. Hallelujah. Oh, two dozen? Praise God. But listen, God demands it, and he's God. He deserves it because he died for us on the cross. He died for me on the cross, and why should I not worship him? Well, you don't know what somebody did to me. I know who somebody did for you. And then, not only that, he desires it. He wants you to worship. For the Father seeketh such to worship. And we have to choose worship. We preached a message on that. In fact, I went over those points. But we have to have expectation because we don't just worship and God just sits there. When we worship, God responds. We talked about activating the miracles of God Sunday morning. God responds to worship. Can you give him another hand of praise here tonight? Amen. Are you going to have great expectations when it comes to worship? That when I worship, God is moved and God will move things in my life. And then lastly tonight, we need to have great expectations on the coming of the Lord. They watched him go. And it was real. And Jesus said, you men of Israel, or the angel said, you men of Israel, the same Jesus that was taken up from you, what did he say, church? He's going to come again. And I want to tell you, they had great expectations in that early church. Those people believed that at any minute Jesus Christ was going to return. They moved in great expectation. The coming of the Lord is a motivator. We don't need to slacken. We don't need to hasten. We don't need to stop. I know there's a time we'd wait upon the Lord. We ask God to give us grace and strength. But let me tell you, overall, we need to be active because the Lord is coming. I'm not going to wait to get my loved ones in church because the Lord may show up and leave them behind. I've got great expectations. And I want you to know, look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. I remember in the 80s, man, there was preaching on the coming of the Lord. People talked about the coming of the Lord. And I'm telling you, something happened in the 90s and the 2000s. It was like, don't preach on the coming of the Lord. Don't preach on Bible prophecy. We need to preach about your best life now and how to have relationships that work. And that's good. We need a best life now. We need relationships that work. But the Lord is coming. And we need to get ready and we need to get others ready. By the way, the children are coming. I'm expecting them. They're coming in right now. Amen. Great expectations. The Lord, we've got to have. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Says, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning to the creation. That's what we see today. There's never been a lack of the coming of the Lord preaching like there has been today. And we should be preaching it stronger and with more emphasis and with more urgency that we are on the verge of the greatest event that is soon to happen. We get wrapped up in politics. We get wrapped up in this. But I'm telling you what, when the Lord comes, everything changes. And we're not waiting for some antichrist to show up. I'm waiting for Jesus Christ to show up. And I believe in the rapture of the church. People don't preach about the rapture anymore. Very rare. You get people and it's almost like they're disdained to it. And I know there's some abuses. But I remember that they preached on the coming of the Lord so strong when I was a teenager that I was afraid I remember one reason I didn't go to the movies back then in the 80s. I was afraid that if I was in the movies, the Lord would come back and leave me in the movies. That's how they thought back then. Now, is it wrong to go to movies? If the movie's wrong, it is, but not necessarily. But understand that there is an expectancy. I've got great expectations of the Lord's returning. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. The eastern sky is going to split. The dead in Christ shall rise. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to be ever with the Lord. I've got great expectations. I remember when I was a teenager, I went outside and the moon happened to be red that night. It was just a hot summer night and I was trembling. I was like, oh my Lord, the Bible says the moon will be turning to blood before the great cost of the Lord is about to return. Well, he didn't return in the 80s and he didn't return in the 90s. And he didn't return last decade. He hasn't returned so far this decade. But you mark my word, he's coming. The signs of the time are everywhere. Just Bible prophecy. And I've got to close here. But Bible prophecy, the technology that is here today, that wasn't here decades ago, all of it ties in with the book of Revelation. And when you read Bible prophecy, when you study that, you ought to have great expectations. Somebody shout, great expectation. Somebody say it again, great expectation. Oh, let me recap these points, and then I'm going to close with one thing from the book that I showed you here. But when it comes to prayer, it's time to have. When it comes to our lost loved ones, it's time to have. When it comes to signs, wonders, and miracles, it's time to have. Number four, when it comes to life's challenges, we need to choose. When it comes to Westmoreland, we need to choose. When it comes to praise and worship, we need to choose. When it comes to the coming of the Lord, we need to choose. I choose great expectations. Come on and give him a hand of praise here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. The book, Expectation. It says, he turns the dirt of Eden into Adam, a man made in the image of God. Woo! He can take the dirt and turn it into the greatest creation ever, Adam. That's what God did. He turns a bloody rib into Eve, the mother of all living. Now, I'd never thought of that. Here, Adam is asleep, and God opens him up, does the first surgery, by the way. First surgery was conducted by God. He is the great physician. He opened him up and pulled out a rib, a bloody rib. Just looks like an old bloody rib. But, oh, when God gets through with a rib, it's going to be the most beautiful thing a man has ever laid eyes on. Amen. Oh, let me tell you, by the way, a little kid was walking around the other day and he said his side was hurting. And I said, what's the matter? Are you having a wife? Oh, God can take dirt and make a man. He can take a bloody rib and make a woman. He turned the Chaldean idol maker Abraham to the father of the faith. He turns an eccentric dreamer into Joseph, the prince of Egypt. He turns a wanted murderer into Moses. He turns Jacob, the cunning deceiver, into the prince of power. He turns an adolescent shepherd into David, the king after God's own heart. He turns a sweaty plowboy into Elisha, the double portion prophet. He turns Cephas the reed into Reed, talking about a little bit of wood, reed, R-E-E-D. He turned Cephas, the reed, into Peter, the rock. He turned Saul, the persecutor, into Paul, the preacher. I've got great expectations. God can do anything, anywhere, anytime. I choose great expectation. Come on and stand tonight. I'm expecting tonight God to bless. Come on, lift your hand up in expectancy tonight. If you need a miracle tonight, you expect it. Hallelujah. I expect it. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you tonight, Lord. I choose expectation. I choose expectation. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God.
How great is our God. Oh, sing with me. How great is our God. Oh, see how great is our God. Sing that again. How great is our God. Oh, sing with me. I'm expecting tonight.
Is our God.
Oh, see how great is our God.